You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Well, thank you, Madam President.
We also know that this is a curfew, so it's only applicable at night, which gives the police even more leeway to claim in court that this person looked young to them at a distance. So if you care about Pensacola's black community, you'll vote no on this ordinance and any future ordinances that grant the police more power than they already have.
I think this whole curfew is ripe for abuse. It's not going to stop crime. There are laws in the book to prevent and punish crimes. I mean, we have laws prohibiting people from trespassing. We have laws for being in the park after dark. I mean, we have laws to keep people from committing crimes. Should people under 18 be on the streets after 11 p.m. on weeknights? I'm not sure. It's not my decision to make. It's the parents' decision to make. You know, the mayor mentioned that we're not babysitters. Well, if we go find your teen on the street, we become their babysitter, because then we have to figure out what to do with them. So I think this is a tool we don't need.
So Charles Baer is having a very Charles Baer moment in the city council meeting on Thursday. The proposed curfew that the socialists hate because, you know, socialists aren't really big on law enforcement. They raised all kinds of objections. How are you going to know it's a kid? Isn't this going to be used against black people? You heard the allegation that if you support this, you're a big fat racist. You know, obviously, D.C. Reeves and Chief Winstrom are racist because they're asking for this curfew ordinance. Curfews don't solve for crime. Curfews don't work. They're pretextual ways to abuse people's constitutional rights. It can't even be enforced properly, and on and on and on. And Charles gives this, you know, very lengthy speech before there's even had a chance for the mayor or the attorney or the chief to actually explain, you know, why this would be an appropriate thing. I think they've got their order of events all messed up in the city council in Pensacola right now, but that's okay. So finally, Mayor D.C. Reeves gets a chance to speak.
Mayor Reeves?
Yeah, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to let the city attorney and the police chief speak. Pre-soliloquy, but if... So maybe from a legal standpoint, that we can talk about what is in the state statute, and Adam, maybe if you want to give that, and then Chief can provide any context and comments as well. Thanks.
So pay attention, because that's going to come back later. He's a pre-soliloquy by Charles Baer. It's a bit of a jab at his lengthy speech, which, by the way, in his speech, he actually said that he thinks if the Pensacola Police Department is given this tool, they'll be killing black kids. Oh, you think I'm exaggerating? Listen, this is what he said.
Well, thank you, Madam President. Let's not forget about the 2009 killing of Victor Steen. So, black 17-year-old who approximately 1:50 a.m. was riding his bike, was followed by a white PPD officer who attempted to tase him from the window of his vehicle and then ran him over, killing him. For his behavior, Mr. Ard, Officer Ard, got moved to a different beat in the city of Pensacola. That's the only discipline he really got, because apparently there wasn't a policy that you weren't supposed to tase someone from the window of your vehicle. If this curfew goes into place, we can probably see more things like this, where children are run over. He was 17.
What? I mean, it's a horrible thing, but what the hell are you talking about? Because 17 years ago, an officer tased a 17-year-old who, if again, I have been told he had a gun. Okay, if I'm wrong about that, please correct me. But that's what I've been told. And so, you know, not like the pure innocent, but okay. He, not a great idea generally to tase somebody, but if they're fleeing you and you're in a car and he's on a bike, I mean, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to apprehend either. So he tases him, he falls down, and then what, the cop runs him over because he wasn't satisfied? No, it was inadvertent. Like, obviously the guy on the bike fell the wrong way and the cop, it's terrible. But Charles Bears, this is going to happen more. Like, you know what the cops are? They're sitting around waiting for the curfew ordinance to pass so they can run down some black teenagers. What are you talking about? It's, okay. So, back to the follow-up, how this all developed. So, you know, Charles Bear gives his big, long explanation, his soliloquy about, trust me, I'll explain why in a second, about why this is a bad thing and for all the reasons, and the socialists have said this is a bad thing. And then Eric Winstrom gets up and explains, you know, and Adam Cobb explained, you know, it's patterned off of other municipalities where it has worked, where it has been upheld legally. This is not about clearing the streets of kids. This is about getting them out of danger when after midnight or whatever they're in a dangerous situation. You know, we're here to serve the community. We're here to help. You know, I love the Constitution. We're not trying to take away people's rights. We're certainly not going to use this in any kind of a weird racist way, whatever. And so the question is, well, what brought this all about? Well, trying to solve a problem. When we were watching July 4th into July 5th, this giant teen event, and literally there was nothing we could do about it except watch it because we had no tool. Give us this tool. We need this tool. Charles Bear says, you don't need it. We'll see in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash I-10 eastbound just after you pass by Buell and Cantonment. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash and injuries I-10 eastbound right near Avalon Boulevard. Partial roadblock there. Finally, a vehicle crash New Warrington Road at Mobile Highway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So Jen Brer, City Councilman Jen Brer, asks, okay, what issues were going on with teens after midnight? You know, was it just before that? And Eric Winstrom says, no, that's when it started to get really bad. That's when they were throwing the fireworks at each other. That's when they're running around acting a fool. And that's when people actually were, you know, kind of leaving with their families. But they were actually avoiding the area because they could tell that it was bad. And there was, again, if they weren't doing any of the actual prohibited activities, there was nothing we could do. And this is not some new thing. This is not like Chief and DC came up with this suddenly the morning of July 5th. This had been in the works for a while.
The former police chief had, I believe, asked the law department to work up a draft because I was actually surprised in our planning up to July 4th that we didn't have this on the books. It's something I'm not used to working in a city that didn't have it. And it was brought up. It had been, the draft is out there, but it has never come to this body.
So whether, you know, under Chief Randall or Chief Goss, or I don't know how far back it goes, the conversation, but it predates him. And this is something I'm working on for a while, but obviously this raised the necessity of having the ordinance. Like, it would be very, very useful. Delarian Wiggins asks, you know, hey, is this going to cost money? Eric Winstrom says, I don't even like calling it an enforcement mechanism because it's really meant to help the very young kids who we find in these situations. It gives us something that we can do. Charles Bear is going to weigh in again.
Okay, a couple questions. Okay, so I've heard you mention the fireworks, throwing fireworks at each other numerous times. And I think you said in press conferences and things. And so you were able to arrest a few people, but they were still going on. Is that right?
Absolutely. It was even going on after shots had rung out and after there were, you know, multiple people lying on the ground. It was still very chaotic.
Okay, so if you can't stop people from throwing fireworks at each other, what are you going to do with 500 youth if there's a curfew?
When I stood there and I looked down, and I saw a 10 and 11-year-old walking together. Those are two young people that I would have been able to remove from that situation. Fortunately, we didn't have any 10 or 11-year-olds injured that night.
It's the starfish story. You know, we can't solve it all, but we can solve for some. And, you know, just like he goes on to explain this, is we can't cut all speeding, but we can catch some. And that helps. That serves as a warning to others. And, you know, I don't know if we can do for all 500 of the kids, but I can help the ones that are right in front of me. And that's what give me something. Give me something that I can do. And then, of course, if word gets out that there's a curfew, maybe fewer kids come down. Maybe we have fewer of these problems. You know, this is not the end-all, be-all. It's not going to solve every problem, but it lets me do something.
is letting parents know there's a chance that police officers will have to bring your kids home or you'll have to come pick them up. Will that stop a few more? I think so. Ideally, in a perfect world, we would never have to be anyone's parents, but in the realistic police world that we live in, that's often what our role is.
Right. We're social workers, we're babysitters, we're friends. We do all kinds of things that you might not think, but that's exactly what we're here for. And Charles Baird raised the objection, well, you know, you're trying to be the babysitters that D.C. Reeves says you're not supposed to be. Well, previously, they're the baby watchers. Like, all they could do is watch until something really bad happens. This would actually give them an opportunity to intervene a little bit earlier on and thwart a bigger problem.
When you pluck a child out of this crowd and then you start calling parents, you're pretty much babysitting them, aren't you, at that
exactly
point?
Exactly right. Yep, 100%.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. It was more of a monologue than a soliloquy as well. Thank you.
This has got to be the single most Charles Baer thing I have ever heard Charles Baer say out loud. He's sitting there steaming for a half an hour, having to listen to the expert tell him how to do law enforcement, explaining why everything he said is a mistake, and it was all set up with D.C. Reeves jabbing him for engaging in a big, long soliloquy. And Charles Baer says, oh, I'm getting you back. I got you now. You don't even know what the words mean.
Right. It was more of a monologue than a soliloquy as well. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, I don't think he can help himself. I just don't. And he's right. I mean, you know, technically a monologue is you say to the audience and a soliloquy you say to yourself in front of the audience. But have you ever... It's like correcting somebody's spelling is such a petty thing to stew over. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, we have this big conversation and, you know, Jared Moore says, okay, you've had these elsewhere. How important is it, basically?
You've worked in other places with youth curfews.
Yes, I have.
Can you tell us about those, the practical application, yeah. Any
yes,
differences?
And a little bit, like I said, I wasn't being facetious. Some wise people came up here and had discussions about some other studies that were done, and there are departments, including one that I used to work for in Chicago prior to when I was in the administration there. But the metrics for success were all number related. It was, have you gone out and written X amount of tickets? And one of those boxes was, how many curfews did you get tonight? And it wasn't, did you get the right kid who was, you know, a potential crime victim.
Right. And so it's like speeding tickets in the speed trap days. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about this as a proof that you're being a good cop because you got enough curfews that day. It's how do you solve a problem when it's becoming a problem? He even mentions, of course, he's well aware of the racial history and all that. And, you know, he wants to avoid any of those kind of problems. And then Jared Moore boils it down to the basic. Do you need this tool?
I mean, I'm assuming this is a tool you need. The Pensacola Police Department force needs.
This is something that I absolutely think that this is like when you need it, you really need it. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is something that every day officers are saying, "Gee, I wish I had a curfew." But I will tell you, having been a police officer now for 26 years, when I was standing out there July 4th and 5th, I said, "This is an extremely dangerous situation. I can articulate it, and there's nothing I can do about it."
Yeah. Give them a tool they can use. That's what he's asking for. And meanwhile, you have, you know, Tenya Day Broughton, who I generally like a lot, but she says,
"Honestly, I would like to see what else you can come up with. I'm not." To this one doesn't make me feel comfortable. And because you've worked other places, didn't you say you were in Chicago or you've worked? Oh, I'd like to see, well, what are they doing there? Is there like a...
Wait, find the one that they're using in Chicago? Now I'm super confused if that's the pattern we're going for. But no, that is his background, Grand Rapids, Chicago, and some in New York when he was working in the law. There had been a big conversation about activities for kids, and I love that Amy Miller stepped forward and said, we're actually looking at community centers maybe being open late at night on the weekends for kids to have something to do. In the end, again, Charles Baer weighs in with his expert opinion.
And Chief, I don't mean this to slight what you and your department do. I think we have a great police department. I think that you have a lot of tools. I don't think this is a tool that's necessary.
we have a great police department, but it's ripe for abuse, and the cops are waiting to run down the black kids if they get this bill. By the way, I've had several people text me and tell me that the Victor Steen case, you have to know, he was trespassing on a construction site with a gun. And so, you know, there's a lot more to that story than, you know, and good. I'll make sure we get all the facts out. And then he complains, Charles Bear complains, that if we give the mayor and the police this ordinance, then they're out of the picture. There's nothing else we can do if it, you know, the mayor controls how it gets used. And, you know, D.C. Reeves says, well, you know, you can unpass ordinances, like you can rescind them as well. So what do they do in the end? I don't know. They caved. They all, like, kind of, except for Jared Moore, who had moved the item forward, everybody else, to some degree or another, said it needs more work. We need to look at it some more. We're not sure. We're scared. I think they don't like getting called racist by the socialists, which is understandable. Nobody likes that, but I'd like to see you stand up to the socialists. So in the end, they wound up doing this very wonky procedural thing where Allison Patton had seconded it for discussion. And if you vote it down, then it can't come back. But if you remove the second, then it can come back, you know, later in a different form, because it's more of a Roberts rules issue. And there was actually this weird place where she removed her second and they ended the discussion. And then they went to talk about other things. And DC says, wait, so you can just kill a bill by seconding it and then ending your second? That's weird. So they actually went through this odd little moment where they came back and talked about it after a half hour had passed. And then there was another time where they came back and talked about it again. And in the end, what they decided to do at the movement of Casey Jones is they decided to come back and work on it in November at a different date eventually. So it's not dead. It just suffered a lot of really ridiculous conversation, and it hasn't happened yet, even though this was a ordinance that the city and the chief worked on a lot, patterned on other things. He's basically begging them, give me this tool, we need it, or we're going to have more of these teen events, and we have nothing we can do about it. And the city council said, no, you don't need it. And I was amazed by the conversation. 725, News Radio 92.3. But I do think, I just can't. Again, the single most, there was a follow-up on that. DC even mentioned the monologue later on, but the single most Charles Bear thing I have ever heard said.
It was more of a monologue than a soliloquy as well. Thank you.
And you got to know that's going to get in the rotation for this show, because it's a talk radio show where I monologue a lot, right? PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash and injuries. I-10 eastbound right near Avalon Boulevard in Milton. Partial roadblock there. Also have a vehicle crash I-10 eastbound in Cantonment just after Beulah Road. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. If you're a business with employees, you got to deal with benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, payroll, all of that stuff. Not the stuff you got into business because you like. In fact, that's the stuff you got into business and then discovered you had to do, and maybe you don't like it because you're like a normal person. Well, the folks at Torgerson Consulting, they're a little weird in a good way. They like this stuff. They're good at it. They have a brain for it. In fact, I've listened to, you know, not Todd, but his son, give a great presentation on this to the Milton City Council. And I mean, it's really, really interesting stuff. And I thought, I mean, it's too boring for me to play on the radio, but very thoughtful. Like, they really know how to make this work for you. And I know because we've used them here at Cat Country News Radio for about 5 years, and they've been great. They've been in business since 2001, 25 years helping businesses solve this stuff. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
No person needs to pursue pride. Carnal pride is the natural resting place of a person's heart. In contrast, 1 Peter 5:6 calls people to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice that the task to pursue humility is given to us. It says, humble yourselves. So what's your plan to humble yourself? I suggest that plan should begin with the phrase, under the mighty hand of God. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive from God's mighty hand? The answer is nothing. Humility begins with the realization that every positive thing I am and every good thing that I have is all because of God's lavish grace through the provision of His mighty hand. Pursuing humility starts with praising God. Be sure to take time to humbly adore Jesus for His grace in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, good.
7:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you're just tuning in, you need to go back to the podcast and listen to at least the 7 o'clock hour where I talk about the curfew discussion. I did it at 5 and 6 as well with different clips. It was a long conversation, well over an hour anyway, on newsradio923.com. David Wayne in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. Maybe, David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The national debt apparently now has exceeded $40 trillion.
We can do better.
Those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those up.
Come on, work on it.
Apparently, it's ahead of analysts' expectations. They didn't think we'd get there this fast. So we're overachievers.
Yeah. In part, as you mentioned earlier, because of the outfall of the tariffs being struck down and the revenue not being made from that, having to refund everybody. So, yay us! Chief Eric Winstrom will be here coming up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump describes his next move in the war with Iran as an economic D-Day that he believes will inflict more damage on the Islamic Republic.
Regional intelligence sources tell Fox News that there are growing indications of economic hardship inside of Iran as a result of the U.S. naval blockade and economic isolation. Reports indicate that inflation in Iran has reached 89%, with food prices up 164%.
Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. Another week, another threat for Hawaii. This after Hurricane Lala. Fox Weather's Michael Estime.
Southeast of Hawaii, we have about a 90% chance of formation. That's within the next 2 days. So in the next 2 days, you may hear of either a tropical depression or another tropical storm forming.
Residents could feel additional impacts due to damage caused by Lala. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Nice start to our morning. 75 right now, partly cloudy skies, and we'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up here in just about 2.5 minutes. The University of West Florida has announced its first major partnership of the Division I era with the Michaels and Booth Law Firm. They're now the official jersey patch sponsor for not just football, but also cross-country and swimming this year. Managing partner Marcus Michael says the firm first wanted to be part of the program from the ground up.
When we were approached by UWF and the excitement that they were generating and the being on the ground floor, the opportunity to be at the foundation of it was really appealing. I've got a lot of admiration for the student athletes, people that work hard in sort of two professions at school. I thought this was a good fit for our law firm in the community.
Michael says the partnership goes beyond advertising and called it an emotional investment in the program's culture and long-term success. UWF President Manny Diaz called the deal a sign of growth as the university is, of course, transitioning this year to D1 athletics. He added that Michael's Booth will also serve as the official law firm of UWF athletics. A 20-year-old Alabama man has been critically injured after his truck ran off the road and hit a power pole yesterday in Escambia County. Troopers say the man was ejected from the truck during the crash. Happened on Bauer Road near Highway 98. He was taken to the hospital. The roadway was blocked for a while last night due to a downed wire and a fire hazard. Also yesterday, a tree fell on a home in the Brent area. Now, this was as those big storms moved through the area. Fire crews responded at just after 5 p.m. on Burrell Lane. No injuries or fatalities were reported in that. Today will be an afternoon of safety and learning. The DOJ with some information on internet safety to get out there.
The U.S. Department of Justice is hosting an internet safety event today. Attorney John Heakin will be joined by representatives from the FBI, Homeland Security, and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. The outreach event will cover online dangers facing children and what parents can do to protect them. It runs this afternoon from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Haji Shrine Building on West 9 Mile Road. Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Four South Florida men have died after a helicopter crash in Kenya. Among those killed were restaurant owner Roger Duarte, founder of the George Stone Crab Company, and television executive Jose Alberto Suarez, president and general manager of the Telemundo stations across Florida, including the Fort Myers and Naples area. A married couple from Coral Gables was also killed, along with three others. So far, no information has been released on that crash. Governor Ron DeSantis has announced up to $60 million in awards for the Florida Cancer Innovation Fund. Now, the largest of that of the single awards was $2 million for the University of South Florida, and they're going to use that for brain tumor research. The fund was established 3 years ago, and they have plans to distribute another $70 million next year. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by White Sands Electric, keeping your Cummins or Generac generators in top shape for the hurricane season. White Sands Electric, your full-service electrical contractor. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash and injuries, I-10 eastbound, right after Avalon Boulevard in Milton. Partial roadblock there. Also still have that vehicle crash, New Warrington Road at Mobile Highway. Use caution. And then finally, U.S. 29 southbound from about Roberts Road to I-10 is seeing quite a bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Channel 3 forecast.
It is going to be a hot day today. Temperatures in the mid to upper 90s. We will have temperatures feeling more like the triple digits. 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms in the later half of the day. A few storms could be quite heavy with frequent lightning and some gusty winds. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Friday, very similar forecast with hot temperatures high near 96 degrees. With that 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, Friday night temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Stripe said it is acquiring OpenRouter as the payments company expands into the artificial intelligence model market. Terms of the deal were not disclosed, but the New York Times said the price tag is at about $7.5 billion. Stripe CEO Patrick Collison said the deal will maximize profitability. OpenAI CFO Sarah Friar told employees that the AI lab will be a public company in 2027. In an all-hands-on-deck meeting, Friar told employees not to worry about rival Anthropic's IPO timeline. CNBC reports that OpenAI confidentially filed its IPO prospectus with regulators in June, but it has not yet publicly disclosed its plans. The average selling price of smartphones has hit a record $315. That's up more than 14% from a year earlier in the Indian smartphone market. CNBC reports that while the market share of Chinese phone companies is falling in the world's second largest phone market, Samsung and Apple are gaining. Futures are moderately lower as oil prices rise. That's Your Money Now.
The 8th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon, benefiting Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Live right here from the Studer Family Children's Hospital. We are definitely off and running.
What a tremendous impact this organization facility makes in our community.
She was so sick, there's no way she's going to live. She did stabilize, and we are so blessed to be at this hospital and have this hospital.
Somebody's matching something, aren't they?
Yes, our friends over here at Gulf Winds are matching $20,000 today.
Trisha and I will add another $20,000.
Let's go!
It takes 2 seconds for your entire life to be flipped upside down. And here, they take care of you. They care. It's a safe place.
Dr. Fallon, will you give us the total?
Happy to announce $300,000 for the new sedation suite at Studer Family Children's Hospital.
Let's go!
And thank you so
so much for raising money for kids like me.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
The primary election is over.
If you're looking at the city of Pensacola mayor race, D.C. Reeves has 51% of the vote. Alicia Trawick has 21% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3 full team coverage with Chris and Austin provided up-to-the-minute local and state election results.
I'm so happy to welcome David Williams into the show. Hey, David, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative.
But I can tell you that there would be, statewide, certainly hundreds, thousands of very serious criminals that are still running the streets if it had not been for the license plate readers. I was elected in Escambia County, residents of Escambia County, to do what I can to make them safer. And again, this is the most valuable tool that I'm aware of, more valuable than fingerprints, more valuable than, to me, than DNA. If you gave me the option of having one of those three, I would take the license plate readers every day.
So we talked with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about the Flock license plate readers on Tuesday. Talked with Sheriff Bob Johnson on Monday. We've been talking about this a lot this week, as you know if you listen to the show for any period of time, and I will get into it in just a second. Before we get Chief Winstrom on the phone, I do want to make a note. I had been told by a couple of different people that the Victor Steen did have a firearm on him, and they maintain that is true. I was trying to do some research on this because somebody texted me and said that is not true. He did not. I don't know the fact of it. It long predates me being in the city. Either way, I don't know the fact, and I just want to make sure that I say that, you know, somebody said, hey, you know, he didn't. And, okay, that may be true as well. I apologize if I got that fact wrong. Like I said, several people have told me that he did. And in any case, Chief Eric Winstrom joins us now. We're going to talk about license plate readers, among other things. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So I know you know you and I talked a little bit off the air about this, but, you know, my view on the license plate readers has shifted a little bit over the last couple of weeks, because in the beginning I was very much on the side of, hey, look, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy in public. It is just a cop with enhancements. Basically, a cop could stand on the corner and do what an LPR can do. And, you know, I'm driving along. It's a privilege, not a right, to drive a car on a public roadway. And it's an extremely effective law enforcement tool, which you have also said. And of course, Chip Simmons says the same thing, and so does Sheriff Bob Johnson. That's why we all use them here in this area. More recently, I have, you know, in listening to all the socialist protest and also listening, you know, to my own thoughts about this matter, I think a lot of their arguments are very disingenuous or misinformed and poor and exaggerated. And I could do a whole logic class on the fallacies they engage in. But I have always been one concerned about government expansion and authoritarian government and suppression of civil rights and what happens if a good tool is put in the hands of a bad person. And that's what concerns me about these is not Eric Winstrom, not Bob Johnson, not Chip Simmons, but X person who gets elected and starts to do the wrong stuff with a tool I trusted the good people with. That's where I'm at. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely right. Man, so much to unpack here. But
absolutely.
So you mentioned the socialist argument, and you mentioned your argument and how you're listening to them. And that's interesting because there is this whole group of very insincere socialists who around the country have made this one of their talking points, and it goes along with their literal stated positions on their – you can go on their website and look it up, abolish police, abolish prisons. It says right on there literally support Iran, Cuba, and Venezuela. That's not a mistake. That's because those are socialist regimes. And you think of those, Iran, you can walk down the street in Iran, if you're a woman without a hijab, their AI video technology will have an agent over to arrest you. Cuba monitors your internet at all times. You can't Google anything without them knowing. You talk about another big socialist thing is demilitarizing the police as if we're patrolling the street in an armored vehicle. If you need an armored vehicle, as we've seen recently, you really need one. But yeah, we don't patrol with them. But look at Venezuela, another one of their favorite places. They're literally using armored vehicles to run over protesters. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it from that standpoint, there's all these insincere arguments because they're trying to, you know, tear down the system, et cetera. But they bring up, in your mind and in my mind, another thing. The real fight, I think, is what about empowering a future evil government that right. could misuse this? And you know, think about just – I think you and I are about the same generation. I graduated high school in 93. My father graduated high school in 1959. He had a German exchange student in 1959 at his house who complained that he got a speeding ticket via a video camera. Germany's had this since 1956. It just seems very un-American.
Right.
And it's a culture that you and I as Americans are like, ah, this doesn't feel right. I'll say one other thing. When I got trained, when I got first promoted in Chicago to sergeant, one of the trainings they did, they sent us to the Holocaust Museum in Chicago, and which didn't make sense to me at the time, but the whole training for the whole day was, hey, you're a police supervisor now. We want to tell you for 8 hours, we want to tell you the story of how the German police back pre-Nazi Germany was an effective police department regarded with integrity. And over the years, this is how they were turned into a tool by Nazi Germany to enforce the Holocaust, to round up Jews and murder people. And we never want that to happen in America. So as a police officer, you have that responsibility, that higher level of responsibility. So I see these as legitimate fears. Agreed, 100%, it's super effective. 100%, the guardrails are in place. The accountability's in place. Sheriff Simmons, Sheriff Johnson, Chief Winsor, we're never going to let anything happen, certainly without accountability of our officers as far as the FLOC system. But those worries are in place. I will say, I think the fight, because we run a very victim-centered approach. It's such an effective tool. If you're the victim of a crime, if you have a loved one that's kidnapped, that's being trafficked, even if it's a property, your house is burglarized, whatever, this tool is amazing. It's a very effective approach to support victims of crime. And on balance, taking all that into consideration with some very reasonable concerns that you have, I just don't think the fight is with FLOC. I think the fight is with the system of government they have, and making sure that we continue to be a free country, that we continue to hold ourselves to that American standard, not the Venezuelan standard, which, right. you know, the loudest voices are trying to get us there. So there's a little irony there. I understand your point of view. I completely understand it. But I think, you know, we could strip away all our FLOC cameras tomorrow, enact a socialist system of government, fast forward a year, and we will be in a socialist state with, you know, 10 times as many.
You know, that's an interesting point. We'll come back to this in just a second. We're talking to Chief Eric Winstrom from PPD. Hang on for just a second, Chief. PJ has traffic on the 5.
Still working that vehicle crash and injuries. I-10 eastbound right near Avalon Boulevard in Milton. Partial roadblock there. Also US 29 from about Roberts Road to I-10. Seeing quite a bit of congestion southbound. Just use caution. I'm PJ with traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Chief Eric Winstrom with PPD. And by the way, this is one of the tensions that has flummoxed me just a little bit, is the socialists who clearly want... You know, they clearly believe in an end state that involves over-intensive use of police, because every place it's ever been tried, absolutely. That's what you get eventually. So why would they be arguing for a reduction in police power or reduction in police technology when that's their end game? And I know the answer. I mean, you know, I've studied philosophy and political science. I know the answer. The answer is they want more crime right now so that they can have the kind of social upheaval and chaos that having more crime will create and foster, and people will be demanding for exactly their kind of police state solution. You make the crisis worse so that you can get the solution to the crisis that benefits you politically. I know that. That's why, even
exactly
though I'm
right.
And even though I'm listening to their arguments, I know they want me to listen to their arguments and be persuaded. And at the same time, though, I find their arguments generally to be very disingenuous and illogical, and great examples. I could do a whole tutorial on illogical fallacies from what they say. There is still, like you just were talking about, that the American part of me that there, I don't love the cameras, and I don't love that you have your that Google can track you. I don't love the geofence location data. I certainly don't like the facial recognition stuff. You know, I see how London is the most camera-heavy, you know, city in the world, and it horrifies me, and I see what the Chinese are doing. And, you know, I've seen all the movies. I was raised in Gen X on all the movies, which were good, and I've read all the books, the Vonnegut and the Huxley, and I've read, you know, Orwell, and all, I'm very, very, very familiar with all of this stuff. And that's exactly what I think Americans should be, is terrified of the end outcome. Just like, you know, we accept having a lot of guns means there's going to be gun violence. Having a lot of guns is how you make sure we're never a totalitarian state. Having fewer cameras is a problem. There will be more crime. But having fewer cameras is how we make sure that we never have a police state that misuses those cameras.
Yeah. Well, and philosophically, I'm right there with you. And, you know, as a police officer with a victim-centered approach, I just look at this on balance. I mean, look at speed cam. I lived in Illinois for too many years, and you can't,
same,
you know, make a right on red or go six miles over the limit without getting speed. Like, it's just un-American. That's not right. But those are just the facial recognition in England, all that stuff. But I don't think Flock gets there.
Okay.
I think there's enough guardrails. I think the ALPRs, I think there's so many guardrails. It's just not that much. I mean, people call it surveillance. It creates a record of license plates, which pass a static location. I'm not discounting the argument. I am discounting the socialist argument, who, by the way, are using, you know, they'll constantly reference the Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, et cetera. But their stated position is to destroy the Constitution.
Right.
So, and not just, you know, one of the 27 amendments. It's literally Article 1 through 7. They want to eliminate the Constitution, but they also want to use it to say, hey, you know, there's this Constitution, and we love it, so we want to, you know, destroy society with it. So
absolutely. I agree. That's why it's interesting. And I kind of, you know, I know when Sheriff Simmons was on, I could tell that there was a part of him that was – there was a little bit of irritation, which is perfectly understandable. And I love Chip dearly. He's a great friend. The irritation was, why is this the one thing that we focus on when Ring doorbells and everybody videoing everybody in public and static cameras and all the rest are already and social media tracking, all the stuff? Like, this is one piece of an enormous puzzle, the byproduct of which is, you know, or a big network of things, the byproduct of which is we have lost a lot of the freedom to move and associate and not be surveilled. Why is this the one? Well, the reason is because the socialists politically capitalize on this one, even though the other ones are comparable philosophically. I agree with all of that.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's there. I don't think it reaches the level of, you know, of facial recognition on the street. Et cetera. I think that it's just not that invasive, and it's extremely helpful. So two things. Number one, I think they focus on it because they can. It's very basic. They can understand it, which, yep, a lot of police technology is very complicated, and they're not big on complicated thought processes. So one is
100% true. Yes, go on. Yeah.
And number two is it's done a great job. I mean, the crime rates across the country are low, and I'll tell you,
that's true.
ALPRs are no small contribution. I heard what Chip said about fingerprints and DNA, et cetera, but ALPRs, as a commander of detectives in Chicago trying to increase our homicide solve rate, which was at like 30%, once we started utilizing them, we would solve, without hyperbole, exaggerations, our solve rate probably doubled.
Wow.
It's that effective. We're in the 21st century, and it's a great 21st century tool. I just don't think it's that invasive, but I'm not discounting your argument or your feelings or anyone else that has sincerely held beliefs about it. I just think from my victim-centered point of view, from the amount of time I've thought about it, I just don't think it rises to the level of invasion that I'm alarmed about it for, you know, some future evil government, which is going to be evil whether there's SWAT cameras already installed or not. And I'm sure they'll put in worse.
You know, and I appreciate all that. That's why I wanted to have this conversation with you because, well, we've already had it with Escambia and Santa Rosa. Might as well have it with PPD. And I know you have a slightly different view, and I know based on your training, your background. And, you know, interesting, I did not know the story about Chicago sending you over to Jerusalem, you know, to see.
It was a museum. Actually, it's in Skokie, Illinois. So, and it's a
program. Oh, okay. All right. The Skokie Museum. Fair enough. Yeah. But still, yeah. Same.
I would love to make that trip. But we put that as a police department in place probably 15 years ago now. And I assume it's still active. But any supervisor, once you got promoted, you had to go for 8 hours. And when you hear about it, where are we going? The house?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Once you get there and sit through it, you realize they tell you the story about policing in Germany, how it went from, you know, respectable policing to they're rounding up people. And, you know, a lot of police officers quit. A lot of police officers were, executed, et cetera. There were some who resisted and did the right thing. But in the end, the message was, you know, you're American police officers. You've got a lot of power. We hold you to a high standard. Never, never abuse it, and certainly never get in a position where you're empowering an evil government.
And by the way, there are so many things where the slippery slope argument makes people avoid doing a smart incremental step because they're afraid of the end result. And it's just like with policing. I'm thrilled to hear that, you know, making citizens be horrified at an end result we never want to get to. But that doesn't mean that you go to zero. It means that you stay maybe at 5 on a 100 scale. It's like, you know, certainly spanking a kid can lead to child abuse. Well, as long as you're horrified about the idea of child abuse, you're probably going to corporal discipline in an effective way, not in a problematic way. And it's true. There's all kinds of things where the fear of the slippery slope endpoint makes you not do a smart thing that is the step one or two. And, of course, the other side will always say, oh, step one is the beginning of the end. Well, only if you allow yourself to keep going down that road. Chief Eric Winstrom, really good conversation. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I always appreciate your perspective, especially some of your varied background. And I just want to say on behalf of the city, I am embarrassed at what happened at City Council with the curfew ordinance. I thought you answered all the objections, and I really hope that City Council will come back and say, oh, my God, we're so sorry. You really need this, obviously, and it's a tool that will be effective in the ways that you want to make it. So I'm hoping that turns out to be the case. Chief, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it.
755 News Radio 92.3 PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash and injuries, I-10 eastbound, right near Avalon Boulevard and Milton. Partial roadblock there. Also taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. That is backed up to Interbay. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or maybe both, you know, because sometimes when you move, you do both. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are extremely good at this. 206 homes sold last year. That's 4 a week. 4 a week. It means every other day, basically, they're selling a home. That's amazing. And that means that their team has a level of expertise, knowledge, experience, familiarity with exactly what the market is doing and wants right now, and can apply that to your case, whatever it is. And, you know, it's little things that get in the way of selling at all, or little things that get in the way of selling for the right price that they can help you tweak and get best price, quick results. That's the idea. And, you know, feel free to include other people in your list, but also be sure to include Christina. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Whatever the day, whatever the hour, FPL is working to keep your service reliable and your bills as low as possible by building stronger lines and rerouting power with our self-healing grid, by preparing for storms and restoring service quickly, and by building highly efficient, diverse energy sources. Because we know every dollar counts. FPL, working for you every single day.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
Got a question about business, health, or money?
Chances are Meg's already talking to the expert.
Pet Talk, Pet's Cool Expert Panel, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Missed it by that much.
Good morning, 7:58 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just a follow-up and correction. I have been told that the Victor Steen, the teenager who was run over in 2009, was not armed, and I think that is correct now. So if I did say that earlier, and I apologize, that was not correct. It predates me, so it's not a case that I was all that familiar with until Charles Bear brought it up as a way of explaining that, you know, he worries that the police are going to run down more black kids if they pass a curfew. I could not believe he said it out loud in a city council meeting, but he did. Anyway, everybody says things that they regret. Me too. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump threatening economic warfare with Iran. Those comments from a Truth Social post yesterday. The president said he's launching an economic D-Day against the Middle Eastern country. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are reportedly moving back to the UK. Reports indicate that the royal children are set to start school in Great Britain next month. And ZZ Top is continuing his tour after the death of his drummer, Frank Beard. Beard died Monday at 77.
Isn't it? And I think, I may be wrong about this, but I think Frank Beard, the one who died, is not one of the ones who actually has a beard.
I think that's right.
I think he's got like a short, you know, facial hair, but he's not. You think, oh, okay, ZZ Top guy named Beard.
Have you seen ZZ Top in concert?
No.
He puts on a good show. I saw him in an outdoor show full of mayflies, and they were all up in the beard. It was crazy.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP Golf.